All right, we're up to Micha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk. Perek Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk. What? Pasuk Gimel. Micha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Okay, the microphone, I think you can hear me, right? The microphone, I need an adapter. It's coming today. I need a little adapter. It'll be here hopefully today. So, Amir Tashem, Monday, hopefully we'll be back in business with the microphone. Until then, we'll do the best we can. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Kine Hashem Yotze. We started this yesterday. Pasuk Dalet or Pasuk Gimel? Dalet, correct. Dalet. The Namasu Hehodim Tachtov. Okay, so Hashem is Yotze. He's coming forth from his Makam and Shemayim. He's coming to this earth. And over here, Micha says, the Namasu Hehodim Tachtov. The mountains will melt. Okay, the word v'nomas always means to melt. In the Mitzudos Tzion, it translates inyon ha-mogo v'ha-maka. It means to melt. Okay, v'nomasu he-horim tachtov v'ho-amokim yis-bakohu. The valleys will crack. Kadoinag, like wax. Now, kadoinag, now that's difficult because the word kadoinak fits better with melting, does not fit with the word the valleys yispakohu is cracking open. So we have to go back and see the more precise translation in a moment. Mibneho esh, like because of the fire, kimayim mu garim bimorod, like water that flows down a descent. Now that doesn't seem to fit well because there's a lot of discrepancies here in this pasuk which have to be addressed. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David one thing at a time. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet. V'namasu hehorim hu mashal al hashpolas, hashpolas hasadim v'hamolachim. This is a mashal. This pasuk simply refers to the times of Yimos HaMashiach. Well, not necessarily, but let's learn now for the times of Mashiach when the enemies will be defeated, and we're giving the various mashalim, the arrogant, they will melt. V'hamolachim yisparkachu hu mashal avdan hamoyin ha'am. The Amakim refers to the common man who is the supporter of the wicked people, they're not leaders, but they're just wicked people, they will crack. The word Yisparkohu means Bikia. It says now, Ka Doinag, the next words of the Mitzvah Kemosha, Ha Doinag, Nomeis Mipnei Hoesh, Kein Yi Masu Heim, likewise they will melt. Just like water when it flows down a mountain, when it flows down a descent, it spreads out here and there. Kain so to Yifuzru bi Arzo Sramim, our enemies, they will become refugees. They will flee from country to country and spread out throughout the entire world. And that concludes the Mitzudos David. Now, there really is some words over here do not really fit very well, because if we take the word v'nomasu ha'adim, it will melt, katachtov. Okay, he says that refers to the leaders, the sodim. V'yamokim means the common min yisbakohu. Now, it appears that the next words, kadoinag, like wax, mivneho esh, that's going back on the beginning of the pasuk. That's going back on the word v'nomasu hehorim tachtof, melting, wax melts. Then when the last expression concludes, kimayim mugarim bimorod, like water that descends down a cliff or some type of mountain and the water spreads out, that refers to the second part of the pasuk, v'hamokim yisparkohu, the valleys will crack open, the hamoinam, the common man, they will no longer have any unity. They will no longer be together. There will be major cracks in this group of people, and they will disperse. They will spread to all different parts of the world, just like water when it comes down a mountain, it spreads out and goes to different locations. So you have to know how to read this pasuk. You have to know how to read the pasuk where v'nomasu harim tachtov is one expression. It's like A, B, A, B. No, here Orlean, he's not well. He means Refuah Shleima, Rabbi Orlean. So he once showed me. He once showed me many years ago. He did something very, very unique, and he told me that there's no one out there in the world that has anything like this. And really, it's a very simple thing, and he's really so true. You have not seen it, where he showed me how he took. I don't remember all the details. He took chunks of psukim, and he basically wrote down this pasuk is A, B, A, B. This pasuk is A, B, C, D. This pasuk he showed me there are different patterns. There are certain patterns in Psukim. This pasuk, the pattern is A, B, A, B, which means V'namasu heharim tachtov, that's A, that's one theme. Then it says V'hamokim yispakohu is B. It's a different theme. The first theme are the leaders, the second theme is the common man. Now, the end of the pasuk comes back to explain the beginning of the pasuk, and we go in order. Now it says Kadoinag Mibneho Eish, that's A. It's coming to explain that the leaders, when they're going to melt, what kind of melting? The melting of metal? What kind of melting? The melting of wax. It's very easy. The D, there we come to D. The last part of the pasuk goes back B. It goes back to explain when it says that the common people, there's going to be a fissure. There's going to be a split. The earth is going to crack, which symbolically means there's going to be separation. People are going to be dispersed. There's no longer going to be unity. Give me a mashal. Give me more elaboration. So the elaboration is just like water when it goes down a mountain. It spreads out to many locations. It disperses all over the place. That's what it means. So the pattern here is A, B, A, B. Go to the next pasuk. You'll see that there are different types of patterns. They could be A, B, B, A.
In poetry, that's common.
What?
In poetry,
exactly.
Four lines. Exactly. The first line with the third line, the second line with the fourth.
Right, but
the
there's an enormous amount of inconsistency because there are different types of patterns.
Yeah, but there are. The third line, they explain the first line, and the second line, they're talking in the same four lines, they're talking about two different things.
Correct, but it also depends. It depends on the interpretation of the word, how you interpret it, and also if you're writing a poetry in a class in a school where an advanced course in college in poetry, so they would demand. Consistency. They would demand symmetry, consistency, and yet Tanakh is not like that. That's probably why you don't really find these type of books that give you these patterns, because there are so many interpretations as to each pasuk.
Yeah, but in prose also sometimes you write and suddenly you put in a small rhyme.
Okay, in a chanami, but there's a logic to that as well. There is a purpose for that. There's always a reason. So here also, when you go through
what? So what is the significance?
So the significance is that the answer. Here's the answer. If you take a chunk of psukim, okay, you take a chunk of psukim, and if you do find a consistent pattern, and then you come to a pasuk where it's not clear what the pasuk means, you would then be permitted to say, well, since the last five psukim are following this particular pattern, so that is a perush, that now when you come to the next pasuk where you have a doubt as to how to interpret the pasuk, well, we have a right to be consistent. What?
Unless it changes the pattern.
Okay, so then you have to have a good reason why you would want to change the pattern.
You call them schemes.
Schemes, various terminology, but over here, it really comes out right at it, because if you want to go read the psukim in order, just read the words right away, there's something very unsettling. It starts off in the masu haradim tachtav, the mountains are going to melt. Then it says, v'amokim yisbako, it's going to crack. And then all of a sudden we go to wax. Kadoinag, like wax, mibneho esh. What is that doing there? It's a whole new theme? No, it's not a new theme. Kadoinag, like wax. Mibneho Eish is going back to explain the first section of the pasuk V'nomasu Heharim Tachtov. And then when it says like water flows down, a descent which spreads out, it's coming to explain B. So it's A, B, A, B. It's a certain type of pattern. And he showed me, he made like a kuntras on this. All the different types of patterns that are common in Tanakh. Well, the truth is, it depends on the style of the Navi. It's a science. There's a whole science behind this. And that, and then you have to see, in that itself, looking at patterns and seeing how different Nevi'im express themselves, at least according to one of the Mefarshim, in itself is a perish on the subject matter. All right, let's now take a look at...
You can do that in terms of rhymes. We're all talking here rhymes. Here in the Pasuk, you might be able to see it with the truck, with the
stops. No, but the truck... No, but we don't have a rhyme here, but the trub is not necessarily... The trub will just tell you there's an A, B, C, D. There are breakpoints in the trub. You have a pasuk, you can have a pasuk that's four sections, like this pasuk. We have four sections in the trub. V'nomasu herim mapach pashta zokeif koton. Tachtov is a stop.
Right.
Now, next, it says v'hu amokim yisbakohu. That's really also a stop. Okay, Kadoina gets a stop. Next, Kadoina gets a pashto, mibneho eish, another stop. And then it says, Kemayim mugorim bimorod is stop. Four stop points. Now the question is, so it's A, B, C, D. Is it? Oh, right. Is it four completely unrelated elements? One has nothing to do with the other. I'm sure you'll find the Mefarsh that says that it's true. That is, they have nothing to do with one another. When it says like wax, mipnei ho'esh, you'll find the mefarish, we'll see. It's not coming to explain what it means, v'nomasu herodim tachtov. That's one concept. The mountains will melt. We're done with that. Finished. Don't go back there anymore. Then there's a second theme, B, and that's v'amokim yisbakohu. Then we come to C. C is kadoinag mipnei ho'esh. Then we come to D. A, B, C, D. Is that the Pshat in the Pasuk? Or is the Pshat in the Pasuk A, B? A, B. The second thing is coming to explain. Okay, so and then that may be the pattern in this particular Pasuk. But I'll show you many Pesukim where the pattern is A, B, B, A. Okay? Or you'll have all different types. Okay, there's no limit. Then that's the question is going to be when you have a series of complex psukim, what's the pattern in the next? So it's interesting when you take the pattern and you put them, it's very simple, and you just put them in terms of letters. A, B, A, B, and then go through every single pasuk in this Sefer and lay it out. Lay it out. A, B, C, D. A, B, A, B. And then study the pattern. And maybe you'll come up with an insight into understanding what he's trying, what the Navi between the lines is trying to teach us. Okay, he did this. This is very unique. Very unique. No, he never saw someone that went and did something like this just to go right out a whole Sefer, all the patterns, and just study the pattern. Don't forget, let's give it the text.
But what was the basis for saying this is a pattern? In other words, was it the trup? Was it a rhyme? Was it a concept?
Well, first of all, the trup, it's a given. That's an understatement. The trop is just a breakpoint. Now the question is interpretation. Is the third segment of this pasuk a perush on the first segment, or is the interpretation? No, it's completely. So you have to be consistent. Go with one approach. And then just it's all subject to interpretation. But if you go and you take hold of one interpretation that satisfies you, you can defend, and you put it down on paper, the pattern, you'll walk away with a new insight as to defining the pattern of the pasuk. Let's now look at Rashi. Rashi says of the pasuk. Rashi pasuk dalet kadoinag is shava wax. Okay, mu gorim bimorod dimoshdin bimardom. Dimoshdin means a waterfall. It's a sixth parsha. The eshed hanecholim. Eshed is the waterfall of the valley. Okay, so dimoshdin means it flows down along a descent, a mora, a modor, bimadron. Madron means an angle that goes downward. Mu gorim. What does it mean? The word mugarim, a water, it's like a waterfall. It means a flow of water. Leshoin zivas mayim, v'chein eini nigra. My eyes give forth tears. Water is flowing down from my eyes. Nigorois biyoim apo. It flows biyoim apo. Paratz nachal miirgar. The nachal. It broke forth me im gar. And what does it mean over there? It means also the word gar there means from flowing. The me im gar. I'm not sure what that pasuk means. I don't know. Vayager mizeh means to flow from this location. The word gimel resh, a ger. What is a ger? A ger is a person who is moved away. He's not a resident. He's a visitor. He has flowed. He has transported himself from one location to a different location. Okay, so that concludes the Rashi. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Dalet. V'namasu ka doinag hi shayvats wax kamayim bugorim b'modor kein yimasu harim v'yigaru. So right away Radak clearly says that the word of the wax is like what we said. It means that the mountains are melting. This third section of the pasuk is going back to explain the beginning of the pasuk. Kein yimasu harim v'yigaru kumo hamayim hamugorim b'mokoy morod sheyelchu mehera. It goes very quickly. A waterfall, and everything over here is just a metaphor for what's going to happen in the future. Let's see the Malbum. Malbum, Pasuk Dalid. The Malbum says, V'namasu v'yoz yimasu harim. V'pachar Hashem v'hadar go'inoi v'hamamorim v'makbilim. And the expressions are parallel. Okay, the Malbum is just repeating what we just said. Obviously here there's a pattern, A, B, A, B. V'namasu harim k'tachtav k'adoinak. He goes and he connects A, the first part of the Pasuk, to the third part of the Pasuk, like we have done. V'namasu harim tachtav k'adoinak. V'bneo A, sheyimasu b'kal k'adoinak. V'amokim yispaku k'mayim mugodim b'morod. Kein yishabchu hamutzakim l'davarach v'noizol. The strongholds. The mashal over here is things that are very, very strong. They're going to become weak, and they're going to become fluid. Shezem mashal al churban aretz shetoshuv liyos kemayim kemoshayis be'es hatoyu. V'chozem elitzav al derech harim yinozlu b'nei Hashem v'yitiskash v'tirash aretz. So here it's Chodoyim is using over here one more insight. And he's saying over here that it refers to we're going back to Maisa Bereshis. At the time of Maisa Bereshis, the world was nothing more than water. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu went and gave his decree that the world should turn into Vayimhi'ar, and everything should come forward, and there should be mountains, and there should be earth, there should be creatures. So when the world melts and liquefies, what is that in essence? In essence, when the world liquefies, it's returning back to its state of before creation. We're going back to as if the world did not exist. Okay, that's a very frightening mashal of the Malbum. Let's see the Mamor Chazal. Pasuk, there is no Maimor Chazal for Pasuk Dalet. So let's now go to the next Pasuk, Pasuk Hey. The Pesha Yaakov calls Zeus, why is this going to happen? So we until now, we got a little bit distracted, and we learned in the Maimor Chazal, the Maimor Chazal always like to take things out of their context. Okay, that's what they're famous for. Maimor Chazal, the hallmark of a Maimor Chazal is to take something out of its context, which in politics is a cardinal sin, right? You have a conversation with a politician, and you can't wait to get a soundbite where he says something which is horrible, which you can use against him to destroy his campaign. And if you would listen to the whole sentence, he's saying just the opposite. But you're clever enough to catch him and to have him say three words together and pause at the right place where you can take that clip and you could present it to the world as he is the worst thing that ever happened to this world. I once saw online, or maybe a documentary where they trained. If you ever listen to a real seasoned politician, the real deal, Clinton. You listen to someone, a Obama's amazing. You know, you listen to them. They're doing this. They're professionally trained to be super, super careful not to say something where someone can later take those words out of context and use it as something against them. But they do this with Gedolei Yisrael. I saw this mamash. I couldn't believe it with Rav Avadya Yosef on the Flatbush Erev. Rav Avadya Yosef, he never, ever, ever paskined about the Flatbush Erev. Never. But people, they asked him questions, and they got enough out of him to take clips, sound bites, it wasn't really his words, to totally distort what he said, to take a quotation from the middle of a long paragraph. He paskins that it's kosher. Read the whole paragraph. He never said that. What he said was, I'm not paskining one bit, but there are many people, Rachman al-Litzlan, who are not Shomer Shabbos, they're not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and Baruch Hashem, there's an area for these people, so at least it should not be, they have a Yesh Amil Lismach, it shouldn't be, they'll come to Shemai Machamev Esrim, and they will Machal Shabbos Hoitzah Bereshus Sarabim. So Baruch Hashem, there's an area for, there's something, a Yesh Amil Lismach. Am I coming to Paskin L'chadchili, you should use it or not? I'm not getting involved in this. I don't want to decide this matter. It's not for me to decide. But yet, they were able to take that sentence in the middle, and it was unreal to take that. Well, that's what they do in politics all the time. You take something out of context. And professional and people who work for politicians, they train them. I once saw a demonstration where they had a politician in this whole set, and they showed how they took like the 3-4 words and they used it as an advertisement against him, which clearly he held his worldview was the opposite. Chazal are famous for doing this, but in a good way. Chazal, it's a classic technique of Chazal to take an expression, a pasuk, totally out of context, extract it, and to use it to bring out an idea, even though in the big picture of things, it's totally not what it means. But yet it's fair game, because Torah is not politics. The words of the Nevi'im, the words of Torah are sacred, the Dvar Hashem, and they do allow themselves in a responsible way to be taken out of context. Yeah, what are you saying?
Just what you're saying, they were very famous, everybody knows the expression, Lincoln said, a house divided should be not standing.
Okay.
That's only the first part of the sentence. Everybody's quoting that. But the second part, he says, and this way we will crash the South. We will destroy the South.
Because we do not want it to be divided. Because we do not want it. They'll quote the big right. Exactly. Exactly. Very, very common. Yeah?
The Wall Street Journal had a quote today. They had an article today about Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. And supposedly when she was quoting Mitch McConnell, and she said at the Senate, when Obama got elected, she quoted Mitch McConnell as saying, our goal is to make sure that Obama does not succeed. However, the real quote that Mitch McConnell made was, our goal is to make sure that Obama is not an interim president. There's a difference. Because what?
Okay, but that's not even a correct quote. That's an outright lie.
That's right.
Okay, so that's even that. We're not even just talking about that. That's outright, that's an outright, blatant lie. He says he changed the word from succeed to the word one term. I mean, that's not what he said. That's just not a quotation. He's saying in a quotation, this is exactly what Lincoln said. But Lincoln, we go further, 2 more words.
Yes.
Okay, so of course, this is my sin b'chol yom. However, Chazal are allowed to do this. And they do it in a responsible way. Like I remember once, I don't know if you remember, they do this even in video. Okay, this is not a nice thing, but I remember Obama once, his whole thing that he looked at a woman in an inappropriate way. Does anyone remember that? You remember that? How come you remember that? Only me and you remember that. No, right, there's a girl, whatever. Okay, you remember. So only me and you remember this. It was the show we were holding. Okay, so there was once Obama, they showed this clip. It was literally 1 second. It was a 1 second video clip of Obama doing something which looked, which was totally inappropriate. And then I remember, everyone, there's not even one person that defended the lie. And they showed 3 seconds of the clip. Okay, they showed the clip was all over the world. 1 second, Obama is a knife, and because they showed 1 second. And when you look at the clip, just 3 seconds, just add 2 more seconds to the clip. What in the world are you talking about? You took it totally out of context. Like you, I remember everyone. There wasn't one person, both sides of the aisle.
That's on the Mandela's funeral in South Africa.
Could be right. So over here in Chazal, they do this nicer, okay? They do this all the time. They do this all the time where they take things out of context. We learned before in the Maimon Chazal that the Pazki in the Hashem Yoytzim Mekoyim of Yard V'Derech Al Bomo Se'aretz, this refers to the coming of Mashiach. This is an expression of Yimoyz HaMashiach. How could this be the Yimoyz HaMashiach when the next words are Hashem's going to destroy the Jewish people? Okay, the next words are Bepesha Yaakov kol zois uvechatois beis Yisrael kifosha Yaakov haloshoyman. He goes on to say there's going to be a gefer l'chachorben to klal Yisrael. So how could the Chazal that we learned yesterday refer to the next pasuk, the pasuk before? Wow, what a beautiful expression. Look what's happening. The Ribbono Shel Olam is coming from Shemayim, from the Kisei HaKavod of the Merkava, to come bring Mashiach. When the very next pasuk describes just the opposite. Okay, let's.
God does both.
What?
God does both. He brings Mashiach and he destroys us.
It's true. It's exactly right. It's exactly well. Or no, you know, that's not acceptable. The coming of Mashiach is not to destroy Klal Yisrael. It's not to Shuta Shal Mikra. You can't say such a thing. We're always yearning. We should be destroyed so that all these curses should come true. That's not.
They have come true.
What?
We don't know what future, past,
but it's not the way. It's not the assumption is when coming of Mashiach will be to the benefit of Klal Yisrael.
Okay,
it's not going to be to their destruction. Mashiach didn't come yet. There's a lot of tzaras out there. Absolutely, Mashiach came already. It's a process.
Exactly.
But did we reach the point
where? I think that's what the Pasuk is telling us. It's a process. You don't know when it is.
So he's saying part of the process of Mashiach coming, there's going to be Churban for Klal Yisrael. And he's saying the proof is in history. The whole history goal is one long process. I hear what you're saying. The Chevle Mashiach.
You can't take it both ways.
It's the Chevle Mashiach. It's not Mashiach.
I
hear what you're saying. Look. Let's look at the Maimon Chazal. Let's see in more detail to see what you're saying is correct or not. Okay. Here it says, "Ki pasuk gimel in the Likute." Okay. Look at pasuk gimel in the Mamore Chazal, page 448. Hashem is going out of his makoim. Tani b'shem Rabbi Meir. Kine Hashem yoytzei mimukoimo yoytzei lo mimida lemida, from one mida to another. Yoytzei lo mimidas hadin ubo lemidas rachamim al Yisrael. Right? Okay. Hashem is coming to show mercy to Klal Yisrael. So that's what this pasuk here means in pasuk gimel. Then the Pasuk Dalet goes on to say the mountains are going to melt, v'chulu v'chulu. And who are we discussing? Pasuk Hey, we're about to learn right now. Bepesha, Yaakov kol zois. Uvechatois space Yisrael. Kifesha Yaakov has committed a crime. Haloi Shoimroin. Umi Bamois Yehuda. Who is it not Shoimroin? And who are the Bamos of Yehuda? Halo Yerushalayim. And then it goes on to say Hashem is going to make Shemron into Li'i HaSadeh. Is that what you call Rachamim? Is that really the pshuta? You're saying something very, very deep. But the pshuta shel mikra, you're saying that Hashem is now leaving the midas hadin, he's now coming to midas harachamim, and he's going to destroy the world. And who is he destroying? The Jewish people. You're saying very, very deep things which are beyond my understanding, but the pshutoi shel mikra does not appear to be that Hashem is going from midas hadin to midas harachim. It's more like what Rashi says. Rashi says he's going from midas harachamim to midas hadin. So how then could this chazal say make such a statement? The answer is they're taking it out of context. How could you take a pasuk out of context such a blatant way? It's not the first time. Okay, it's not the first time. So it's a very common thing. Look, there's a lot of famous songs. Okay, there's a famous song. I don't even know the words. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. We actually in the Haftarah. Ish el re'ehu yoimar chazak. One man will say to his friend, be strong. Okay, ish el re'ehu, a man to his friend, yoimar, should say, chazak. Okay, let's be strong. So there's a song, and you go to a wedding, and people are singing with the greatest kavanas. Ish el re'ehu, with a beautiful melody, yoimar chazak, we're living now in difficult times, hester panim, chizuk. Chizuk, ish el re'ehu yoyme chazak. He go to Yeshaya, look at the pasuk, read kemat, every single mefarish, there is one exception, every single mefarish, look at the context. The context is Yeshaya's mocking the Amazon warehouse where they put together the idols. And they're working very hard in this factory. And they're bringing in beautiful wood, and they're cutting it just perfect that it should look like a beautiful idol. And they have beautiful gold platings of metal and silver, and they bang in nails. And as they're working to produce the most magnificent idol, each worker says to the other, Chazak, let's be strong. Let's work overtime. Make sure the nails are banged in with perfection, customer satisfaction. Quality control for the pesel, for the idol that everyone will bow down to, in denial of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, in denial of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Each man, we're making idols to rebel against Hashem, and these are Jews, by the way, who are doing this, to rebel against Hashem, to abandon him, and the idol should be beautiful, and we should be very strong in our commitment of our rebellion in Hashem and to beautify the idols. So this expression has become a very popular song. Ish el re'ehu, one man says to his friend, Yoimah shall say, Chazak, let's be strong in making an idol to show up Hashem. Are you out of your mind to make this into a song? And is Klal Yisrael so naive and so foolish to go along with this? And to like the melody, to adopt the melody, to sing the words without even thinking, without even looking up the pasuk, what it says, and to sing this behislavos out of their mind. When it comes to Yidden, that became a world war because someone found a video of a German was plagiarized. What? No, the reason why they don't play that song is because it's just it lost its appeal. It's nothing to do with religion. It's because, just like we don't play other songs, you know, you're always moving on, whatever. People are bored. So that, back in the day, that became a big hot issue. Oh, how could you sing Yidden? It was plagiarized 100% from a German rock and roll song. You can go online. It's not so hard to find. Go online. There's a very, very, very impressive video of yeah.
There's a famous song that Josh Groban, who's a very famous American pop singer, put out, "You Lift Me Up." And Jews have adopted that song, not the words. "Lift Me Up" is relating to Isa Ish, gives chizuk to the guy. And I once asked the guy who was singing it, "Do you know where that You know what his answer was to me?
I don't care.
He said, the Olam is adopted.
They Judified it. After Chatzos, Laila, you're able to be maler than Nitzaytzos of the Christian songs for Yiddishkeit. All these crazy, all these funny things. After the fact, you'll find some Kabbalah sefer that says, "Yeah, we Judified it. We made it. We cleansed it." What? What? Okay, that song Yidden. So I don't understand. Everybody say that song Yidden was blackmailed because the composer was composed in Germany by some who knows who, and it was a very popular. It's a popular German rock and roll song. You can go online. You can watch them. I think there's a woman also who's participating in this and this, and they're mamish to singing it. You see what they look like. It's scary, even on today's terms, what they look like when this band, this German band, is singing the words. I don't know the words, it's the German words. So this, Mordechai Ben David, found to be very appealing to us, and he took the melody, and he put some nice words to it, and it became extremely popular. And then when it was discovered that it was plagiarized it became a big hot issue. But when you have a Jewish melody who was really composed by a Jew, which know there's very few songs that are really composed by Jews, because the way you can, people compose songs, unfortunately, is you listen to a lot of music, you have to steal a little bit, you have to be inspired. And many people, unfortunately, even Jewish songs, that you listen to a lot of Goyisha songs, and it gets your mind percolating.
Country Yossi made a whole career at it.
Well, Country Yossi was 100% honest in this, because Country Yossi, he that's exactly what his point was. His point was to these kids, like myself, should not be drawn after the Goyisha song. So he took what was familiar to them, and he just put Jewish words. And it was explicit what he's doing. Okay, he's not trying to hide under the rug and under the covers and make believe. He's explicit what he's trying to. But other people, they're not there. There's a little plagiarism. Okay, even though the famous song of Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, okay, even that was to a degree plagiarized from some.
Naomi Shemer wrote this.
What?
Naomi Shemer wrote this.
Yeah, and where did she get it from? And she was put under a lot of.
She created the wrong
song. No, go Google it. Go Google it. It cannot be this song. This exact melody is some Oriental. Was Oriental? It's too much of a coincidence that it's exactly the same nigun as some Oriental nigun. And it took many very long time for someone to discover it. And when it was discovered, she was put under a lot of. What did you do? It's plagiarism. So she says, I think this is Aramaic, you have to read. I'm sure it's Google. I'm not making this up. Google it. I think it could very well be that I listen to a lot of things for inspiration, and it could be that it stuck in my mind and accidentally, without even realizing it, it just came out. I thought I was composing something original, but when you listen to a lot of music, there are certain things that stick, and you forget. You forget, and your mind plays games with you. I believe her that if it was an honest mistake, because that's what musicians do, is an honest mistake. But it's not likely that she mamish lahachis went. Yeah, I know it's been a long time since I read up on this. Please read up on it. It's very, very interesting.
And
okay, that's a lot. So for some of it, I don't know the answer. No one knows the answer. What do you want to say?
There was some, I think, Chabad Nugunim that was straight out of the beer holes.
Correct.
No, they don't have to do that.
To Judify it.
With ours original.
Oh, really? That I never heard.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
That they took it over and
that's a stretch. That's whitewashing history. I really don't go for that.
I think they take these Nugunim. You know, in their own way, they're putting Kedusha.
So who exactly? It's fine. So be honest about it. 100%. Be honest about it. To go say, I don't like, we're taking a Goyisha Nigun. It's a beautiful Nigun. And to say, it was really ours. The Goyim stole it from us, and now we're just taking it back to ourselves. That's quite a stretch. If you be honest, it's a beautiful melody that the Goyim play. What's so terrible? What's wrong of us taking this melody and adopting it for our purposes? What's so terrible? Yeah?
Rabbi, I read Rambam. Criticize people who sing like boring, authentical melodies on simchas. It's better to listen a secular song, but it's uplifting.
Saying it's better to listen to a secular song?
Which is uplifting.
Uplifting than to listen to boring Jewish songs.
Yeah, which is, doesn't mean nothing. Just puts it.
They say that today. That's the common argument. A lot of kids today, you talk to them. A lot of youth today, they say exactly that. Why do you have to go listen to all this crazy stuff? Listen to something. Go into Eichler's. There's a whole wall. They say the Jewish music is very schwach. It's weak. The talent is talent, no doubt about it. But the stuff by the Goyim is far more appealing to them.
Yeah,
so what's so terrible?
It's words.
Word, Jewish words. Okay, but the problem is, but the problem is, there are a lot of things that come with the territory. When you let someone go by secular, go listen to the radio, these Goyish melodies, okay, maybe you'll find a couple of melodies that are clean. But one thing leads to the other. With the territory of this music, oh, you become a fan of the artist. And then you start following him. And believe me, when you go down this path, you find yourself in a very bad place. So, tell you about old Nigun, look, Chaim Berlin and Purim. They play these magnificent melodies. Bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bum, 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 bum. These are really unbelievable. These are not Jewish melodies. These are marches. These are French, old French, from Napoleon. These go back, Doiros. They're not Jewish. No one's coming to whitewash history. It was done. It was accepted. Now today to go listen to Michael Jackson's old stuff and this and that, you're going down a very dangerous path, because when you embrace these things, there's a lot of things that come along with it. This already, this is very safe. This is safe, yeah.
Rebbe is a very big Baal Menachem. I don't know about Rabbi Yitzchak also.
Yeah.
He made up the Nefesh and he came Mars. You know that? And many, many that we have.
So the Milo with him, and also this, you should appreciate Kalbach. With all of the controversies that surround Kalbach, there's one incredible thing about Kalbach. Kalbach did not listen to non-Jewish music. All of his melodies are pure.
That proves the point. They're affected by the outside world, so that's why most people end up copying their tunes. Kalbach wasn't infected, you said.
Right. Kalbach had a degree of holiness. A lot of the things you hear today, they'll admit to you. No one's Lieber Schmelzer. Okay, he'll admit to you. He listens the whole day to non-Jewish music. Why? Inspiration, and then...
For his next song.
Right, exactly. And then, based upon, he's a good person. He's a very good person. And, and then he does what he does. He injects his Kedusha using the tools, no different than who printed this Sefer.
Well, Rabbi Shor did not agree.
What?
No,
that's not what he disagreed about. He disagreed with other things. He didn't disagree. He didn't disagree. But he disagreed about not for now. At all. Not going there now.
Oh.
But who printed the Sefer? Who the Goyim? The paper, the technology, the ingenuity that made available this Sefer is all from the Goyim. Okay, the text is the words of the prophets. It's Kodesh Kodashim. But in order to present it in such a way, we're living in a little isolated world. There's no one else in the world but Klal Yisrael. That's ridiculous. So music, it's not that much different. There's a chokhmah to music. It's a chokhmah. How notes go together in order to inspire the mind. And it's produced by people who are shomrei Torah mitzvos, people that are very, very good people, holy people.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really so terrible for them to listen to Goyish music and to be influenced by Goyish music in order to produce a melody of holiness? Not necessarily. But when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you want to sing a nigun, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, do you want to sing a nigun that came from a melody that was influenced, inspired by listening to non-Jewish music, or do you want to go listen to a melody that was inspired 100% by a person learning a Daf Gemara? Okay, Rabbi Brazil. What's his first name?
Shmelki
Brazil. Shmuel Brazil. So he is the composer of most of the songs on the Regesh. Some of those songs that become legends. Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Eish Eschayil. There are a lot of incredible things there. Incredible songs, and it's sung by Abba Sprott. Okay, he's the one that actually does this thing. But who composed the melodies? This fellow, Rabbi Brazil. How does he compose those melodies? He sits and learns the whole day, and he has tremendous tainuk in his learning, much, much more so than the average person, and it fills him with joy, and then as he's learning, he's inspired, he just starts singing. Something comes out of his neshama, and he has a tape recorder by a shtender, and he just records that geschmack on the tape recorder, and later he goes home, and later he goes home and works on it, and he develops it into a substantial song. So when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you want to sing a melody to Hashem, do you want to take a melody, the melody that was inspired by a person sitting and learning a Daf Gemara in the Seviva of Kula Torah, or do you want to sing a melody that was inspired by listening, going on YouTube and watching the whole day Goyim, the non-Jews, which are very talented, and being inspired? They are both 100% kosher with the heksher of the badatz. Okay? 100% kosher. It's a chachma. Music is a chachma. You go to school to learn. Someone can train you. It's not necessarily, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay? But you're being inspired. It's not exactly like publishing a sefer where you're using technology of a guy. There's an inspiration. There's a hergish. There's an emotion. They're both kosher. No one's coming to Chas Shalom and say it's not kosher. But it's a different level. It's a different madrega.
First of all, you mentioned Naomi Shemer. Today, this week's a yard
site. Zuchus Yogadalena.
Also
a yard
site today at the Klosenberger
Rebbe. Oh, Zuchus Yogadalena.
Zalman Suraskin,
ah. Yard site
of David Lipschitz.
Wow. Two of those people I'm very close with. Rav Zalman Suraskin, because my brother is married to his great granddaughter, and Rav Dovid Lifshitz, my grandfather, was very close to. He was very close to Rav Dovid Lifshitz.
The Kalev, you noticed on the Kalev, the Solo Kokoshmar, is basically a Hungarian shepherd.
Right, I know. I just sing over and over.
I was in Lubavitch at a Brengen in 1966 or 67.
The Russian songs.
The Rebbe got up and started singing the Marseille. A lot of people from France and...
I'm not telling you chidushim. I'm not telling you chidushim. Most of the good songs are not Jewish. Are not Jewish songs. There's not a chidushim over here. Of course, this is. But don't lie about it. Okay, don't plagiarize.
And half of the guys who hear the music that come from outer sources don't have the slightest idea of Elton John. They don't know who you're talking about. They know it was created by.
Okay, but people who know are horrified. Are horrified that you know, there's something called plagiarism. It's not acceptable today. It's not acceptable to steal something from someone else without giving them attribution, especially when you do it in a public forum. So if you want to go use, you want to adapt a non-Jewish song, good for you. Just be honest about it. It's very common. What? Right. It's very common. It's not, but at least you have to be honest about it. Okay. So let's go back. Let us go back now to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk, we did over here, Rabbi Bepesha Yaakov, so we discussed over here, taking our context. Let's move on. Bepesha Yaakov calls us. Why did this terrible tragedy happen? It's because of the sins of Yaakov, Uvichatoy Space Yisrael. Mi Fesha Yaakov. Who is the Fesha of Yaakov? Yaakov represents the entire cloud. So who over here are coming to address putting our finger on? That is the source of sin. We'll explain the mitzvahs in a few moments in more detail. The answer, a rhetorical question. Not a rhetorical, it is a question, period. And the answer is, Haloi Shaimroin. The answer is it, that's the it's a rhetorical answer. Is it not Shaimroin? Umi Bamos Yehuda. Who are the strongholds, the high places of Yehuda? Halo Yerusha Loyim. Now let's see this in more detail in Pasuk in the Mitzudos David. The Pasuk says, Bepesha, do you know why the mountains are going to melt? Do you want to know why the valleys are going to crack and everyone will be dispersed? It's because Begemol, it's in retribution. Fesha Yaakov Yihye Kol Zois. Uvechatoi space Yisrael, and due to the sins of Yisrael, Mitzudos Kidarkoi says, poetic repetition. Hu kefel inyin b'miloi shonis. Then the pasuk elaborates, mi fesha Yaakov, mi hu hasiba shepasha Yaakov. Now, this already is more controversial, more novel what he's saying. Who is responsible for the sins of the masses? The leaders. Who, where is the leadership of Yaakov to be found? In the capital. What is the capital of Malchus of Yisrael? Shoimrein. According to the Mitzudos, the Pasuk here, Hashem is coming to blame someone. Coming to hold some one person accountable for the sins of the masses. And that is the leadership. They are guilty. Who is the cause? He adds in one very, very powerful word here. He injects one word into the pasuk, which doesn't say, and that's not everyone agrees to this. The Mitzudah says, "Mi hu hasiba." Who is the cause of all of the people of Yaakov going astray and coming to this point in time where they will be exiled, the mountains will melt, there's going to be a very great chorban in the land. You know who it is? Mi hu fesha, who's the siba halay shoimroin? It's the people that sit in the castle, in the White House, in the capital of Malchus of Yisrael, Shoimroin. Mitzudos, mi yuasibo shepasha Yaakov, haloi Shoimroin, roi shamalchus, visham hoya mikor. That's the source. Huavoidas kechavim univi abal hamadichim, which mislead, misguide, es Yisrael me'achre Hashem. Umi bamos Yehuda. Remember, we have to remember, going back to the unique nature of the Navi, the Nevu of Micha. Micha is unique amongst all of the Nevi'im in that he focuses on both the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. All of the other Nevi'im that we spend so much time learning did not spread his wings on everyone. He was more pinpointed on either the Malchus of Yehuda or the Malchus of Yisrael. Micha is unique in that he is blanket prophecies, blaming everyone across the board. Yehuda and Yisrael. Yisrael, you're guilty because of your leadership. Where is your leadership to be found in Shimron? Yehuda, you're guilty because of your leadership. Where is your leadership to be found in Yerushalayim? Everyone followed suit. There is a trickle-down effect from the leadership. Okay, it's next. Now let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi, Pasik. There is no Rashi on this Pasik. Let's take a look at the Radak. Radak, Pasik, K. Bepesha, Kof, Alu, Inyin, Bimila, Shoinos, V'yakav, Yisrael, Oimer, Al, Aseres, Ashvatim, Kihem, Kihem, Haroi, Bavur, Malchus, Ephraim, Kemosha, Kosaf. Okay, so the Yaakov and Yisrael here refers to both. It's the same thing we said before, like just like the Mitzudos, the Malchus of Yisrael. Mi Fesha Yaakov, Mi Goram. So far the same. Lefesha Yaakov, Halo, Shehem, Huagolim. We're referring over here to the Egle Hazav. In Don and Basel. In Don and Basel, they were Egle calves, golden temples, where they went to worship. Haloi Shoimroin, Ratzolaymar Melech Shoimroin, Ki Malche Yisrael Hoyerosh Mamlochasam Shoimroin. The capital was Shoimroin. That was not always the capital. The original capital was not Shoimroin. It was, I think, Har Gerizim, right? Har Gerizim and Har Eval. They later moved. It was moved. They transported the capital at a later point in time to Shoimroin. Mizman Omri ve'Eloch. Okay, from a later, if you want to look at the picture on page 915, you see all the kings. and you see when Omri was, that's when they moved the capital. They moved the capital. It's already, how many? It's like a third into the Malchus. A third. The Malchus lasts like almost 200 years. About a third way down is when the king Omri came into power, and that's when he decided that it's time to have a new capital for the kingdom in Shomron. V'im heim hayu moinim avodas v'agolim yisrael lo hayu avdim ha'isa kol shchein shechem hayu machzikim v'avodasam v'ha'am hayu l'chachrei melech. If the kings of Yisrael would have put their foot down that avodah zarah is forbidden, then it would never have happened. It would have never have come to this point. Next words in the Radak, umi bamois. Who are the bamois of Yehuda? Halo Yerushalayim. Umi garam sheyasu bamos bari. Who's one of the causes of Yerushalayim? Halo malcha Yerushalayim ki Yerushalayim chay sereish hamamloch v'hutzrach l'farishken ki milas miloy tipol al ella bal seichel k'mal mihu ish v'lo yeomer mi hashar umi hachamar. Now here the Radak is coming to give us something very beautiful. The word me is a very unique word. The word me is only used in reference to a person of intelligence. You never find an expression in Tanakh to say mi hashar, or to say mi hachamar. You never find such an expression. So therefore, what will be an alternative? What will be an alternative translation of the pasuk? To say, we have to see some of the other mafarshim. You'd say, "Bepesh Yaakov calls us, Echadus to be Yisrael, mi fesha Yaakov." I'm not sure. There's an alternative interpretation of the pasuk, which I don't remember. We'll see maybe in a moment. But in the meantime, the Radak is teaching us the word "mi" is a question. You only ask a question to a person who has intelligence. You don't ask your dog questions. You don't ask your cat questions. You tell them what to do. Okay? Only human beings who have intelligence do you ask questions. Thus, me is a question. Me, Fesha Yaakov. It is a question. The question is posed to us. Who is the cause of Yaakov rebelling against Hashem? The answer is, I'll tell you the answer. I don't need you to tell me the answer. It is their leaders, Shimon. Who, I'm asking you, people of intelligence, who is the cause of Yehuda, Malchus doing Averos? It is their answer is their leadership. Okay, let's hold that thought. We'll come maybe a little later. Let's see the Targum over here. He quotes the Targum of Yonasan to your game. Eicha chavu de beis Yaakov. Oh, so that's okay. I see I'm forgetting everything that I did prepare this, by the way. But he's saying another interpretation. Where? Me, we're having now an alternative interpretation. And the word eicha, the word me, is a sophisticated form of where. Where did the Jewish people sin? What is the location? The answer is Hala b'Shomron. Ve'eicha chavu de'beis Yehuda, hala b'Yerushalayim. Where is the primary sin taking place? The sin is taking place in Shomron, and the greatest sins are taking place in Yerushalayim. Now, Shomron and Yerushalayim are cities. They are not Balei Seichel. They are objects. Now, according to the parish of the Targum, is really where the Radak is coming to almost to disagree. Can't really disagree with the Targum, but he seems to be doing so. Is me is addressing an object that does not have intelligence, and me is translated as where. We never heard of such a translation. Okay, did you ever hear of the word me being translated as where? You never heard. Me is who? Me, as the Radak says, is, I told you that we're speaking to people of intelligence. That was incorrect. Me means the answer will be, the word me already is leading into your answer. And the answer that will answer the word me will be a human being who has intelligence. So whenever you say who, me, as a question, you could expect the answer to be a person, a human being, a leader, an ordinary man, a king, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. You don't expect the answer to the word me to be an animal. Which creature ate up the food? It was the donkey. It was the horse. You don't say that. You're never going to pose a question where you want to identify something with the word me, at least according to the Radak. Therefore, that forces the Radak to interpret the pasuk to mean, I'm asking you a question, and the answer will be a person. So when you look at that in the pasuk, and it says, mi fesha Yaakov haloi shoimroin, the only way to make sense of this expression is, my question is, who is responsible for the terrible averos that are taking place in the land? And the answer is, the people who are in the leadership positions in Shomrayim. People who are in leadership positions in Yerushalayim. Human beings. The Targum disagrees. The Targum says the word me can be used to address a question where the expected response can be even a creature that does not have intelligence. A donkey or a horse or the like. So how then will the Targum reap shot in the Pasuk? He's going to have to say the word me. Do not translate like your ordinary translation of who. Me means where. Where are the sins taking place? Where is this? What? Me v'mi, that means people. Me v'mi ahochem. Paro said to Moshe, who? The children and the adults. Intelligence. Even children have a degree of intelligence. Okay, me v'mi. Okay, let's not go, you can talk about it. Right now, let's look at the difference. There's a lot of interesting things here. According to the Targum, there's a machlokes between the Radak and the Targum as to the word me. There are two different points of disagreement. Number one, what is the translation of the word? Number two, when can this word be used? And these two points are totally zebizeh. Number one, what's the translation? According to the Radak, who? According to the Targum, where? Why does the Radak go out of his way and get, what does the Targum go out of his, what does the Radak, Targum go out of his way and say it means where? Because since the answer here is Shomrayim and Yerushalayim, he doesn't want to say that it means the people in leadership positions in Shomrayim and the people in leadership positions of Yerushalayim. So he says it's a place. He doesn't want to say, me, where are the sins taking place? The answer is in this location and in that location. According to the Radak, you can't do that. Because that's not the way you use the word me. The word me is never used when you expect your answer to be a location, an object which has no intelligence. It has to refer to a person. So therefore, translate the word as who is responsible. Add a word into the pasuk, who is the cause? And the answer is the leaders of Shomrayim and the leaders of Yerushalayim.
Don't we usually say like Washington?
Exactly, right, exactly. So you're referring to the people. That's exactly what the Radak is saying. That's exactly what the Radak is saying. But according to the Targum, he's not saying that. He's saying, where are the sins taking place? Right, in English is basically the same thing as what the Radak is saying. Because the Pasuk leaves out a very important word. Mi fesha Yaakov. The Radak is adding in a word. Mi hasiba. Who is the cause of the sins of Yaakov? It doesn't say the word Siba in the Pasuk. The Radak has went and done something that is very, very difficult. He added a word into the Pasuk that it does not say. What forced him to do so? Because the word me can only be used when you expect the answer to be a person. So then you have no choice but to say, who is the cause, who is responsible for the sins of Yaakov?
If it's not a person?
A place, Eifo. Eifoi! Echa, you would say, no, an animal, you would not say the word me, you would say, well, it depends on the context. So in this context, it depends on the context, it doesn't apply in animals in this context. In this context, it says Shomrayim and Yerushalayim. Are Shomrayim and Yerushalayim being used as locations, or are Shomrayim and Yerushalayim referring to the people in leadership positions in these cities, which is the capital of the countries? So according to the Targum, me, it should really say Echa, where, or Efo, Fesha Yaakov. Where are the sins taking place? I walk the streets. Everything looks good to me. I don't see any averos. The answer is Halo Shomron. Go to Shomron, then you'll see what's going on. Umi Bamos Yehuda. Where? Me means where. Where are the Bamos of Yehuda? Where? I don't see any Bamos in Yerushalayim. I don't see any Bamos in Yehuda. Go to Yerushalayim. You'll see plenty. Halo Yerushalayim. That's what the Targum says. And the Targum, reason why he says that is because the Targum does not need to inject any missing words. The Pasuk can be translated literally. But the Radak doesn't want to translate it literally because he feels the word me is a violation of the rule that me has to refer to an answer that will refer to a person. So Heshi wanted to say, me v'mi haholchem. The Moshe Paro was yotze both the Targum and the Radak, because mi binoreinu uviskonenu neilech, the children are under bar mitzvah. They have no intelligence. They have no intelligence yet. So they have no intelligence yet. They're like the chamor. So mi v'mi, the people who have intelligence and the people that don't have intelligence. That's why Paro said mi v'mi. Because there's a me lefi the Radak and a me lefi the Targum. Oh, Shalom Yisheshir from Heshi right over here. Okay, let's stop here.
Me. I heard the cold of the Rabbi Sarotskin, who was the third one?
David Rebshe.
That's is it from the Baki Rebbe?
Yes. So his grandfather
was
I listened to Ruth Gusen. Was a very, very popular Jewish soul. Part of it was art of instrument playing. So I was up on the boardwalk. I went. Okay, the tour. I heard the song. I heard the part of the song with the music. And all of a sudden, I said, "It's in Spanish."
You couldn't believe it.
I didn't know.
You couldn't believe it. The first time I saw that video of the Yidden, I was blown away.
Why? Because you knew the song from somewhere else?
I never imagined. I never imagined such a
years
thing.
Ago, I'm crazy, there's a certain Broadway show. It was before it was even Broadway, by Weber and the Rice. It's called Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's Mamish, you know what it's called, high school. It's everything. I have no problem.